Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I've been hearing music. What's that music I hear?
It's a baby, not a blob. It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a cute little innocent baby.
Whoa, Robert, bro, what a blessing. Robert, what a blessing to have you in the studio.
Brother Bob Enyart.
Welcome to Colorado. And we have Jeremy Sonia. Jeremy, how are you?
Doing well.
Now,
glad to be here.
You guys, let's talk about, you guys have a ministry, Open Air Preachers, all around the country. But we're friends. We go way back, Robert, bro. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
No, Robert Bro from New Orleans. I first saw Bob on TV about a year after I was saved, and my testimony is coming out of homosexuality and drunkenness.
Wow.
So
in a few minutes, let's hear more about your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right?
That's fine.
And so then about a year after you became a Christian, out of a pretty horrendous life, it sounds, then you found this crazy show on TV, Bob Enyart Live.
Yes. And a friend of mine told me, you got to watch this guy on television, Robert, Larry Kennard in New Orleans. So I tuned in. I think you were on 11 o'clock at night. And I watched for years until you finally went off the air.
That's right. Off the air, off of TV.
Off of television.
We were on in 80 cities, 5 nights a week for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to radio. We really started in radio in Denver.
Yeah, I remember.
And so it's 15 years later, we're still on the air. Praising the Lord.
Amen.
And asking God to help us to spread the truth that he's real and that he loves people and will save those who humble themselves and trust in him.
Amen.
So, Robert, okay, Robert Bro. Now, people don't know Bro, B-R-O, that's
no.
B-R-E-A-U-D.
Yes.
Robert Bro.
D and, silent.
And we met. It wasn't only you seeing the show, but we met years ago in New Orleans.
Right. A couple of brothers of mine from a former church, well, my same church, Grant Storm, is my pastor in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And we was across the Lake Pontchartrain. And I think it was God's Criminal Justice System seminar that you were teaching.
Wow.
And some of Grant's congregants were going there.
Grant
so I met
Storm.
Him. I met him through them and you through him, basically.
And he was on the radio 5 days a week for years.
Yes.
Down there at WSHO.
Yeah. Yep.
And 800 a.m., I think.
Yep, the Reformer radio broadcast.
That's right. And we became dear friends. Friendship has lasted over the years. And my kids, my son Nathaniel knows Grant's sons. And
yes.
They've traveled around the country. In fact, you were with my son Nathaniel.
I was sitting next to him in the van when we went to San Francisco in February 2004.
When they were issuing marriages for homosexuals in violation of state law.
Yes.
And so you guys went there to enforce the law.
Yes.
It's reasonable.
We blocked the clerk's office where they were giving out the, you know, of course, I like to say the Mirage licenses
because
it's not a marriage.
Instead of the marriage, the Mirage licenses. Yeah. And when the lesbians came out and they said they were married, remind me, how were they dressed and what did you tell
them? It reminded me of what you said on TV a few years previous, that even in their perversion, they acknowledge the created order, because when two lesbians get married, one of them wears a tuxedo.
One wears a tuxedo, and you actually
and
saw
and
lesbians
I saw,
coming out.
They did that. They came out of City Hall in Frisco.
What did the other lesbian wear? The one wore a
wedding
tuxedo.
Dress.
A wedding dress.
One lesbian had a tuxedo and the other had a wedding dress. And I told them, y'all acknowledge the created order even in your perversion. And they said, no.
No,
I said, what
don't.
Do you mean no? You're standing right in front of me.
One has pants, the other's in a skirt.
Right.
God created them male and female even in their rebellion, hand fist up to God.
Yes.
In their sexual perversion, they're affirming that God made them male and female. So what is the one in the wedding gown? What is she, the butch? And the guy in the tuxedo, he's the girl? What?
You can't really put your finger on it if it's confusion.
You know, but since we've been pointing that out for 15 years or so, and you know what? They now intentionally will skewer that when they, if they're going to go through a bogus wedding ceremony and the media is there, sometimes they'll purposely both dress the same. We've noticed that. But anyway, they do. They affirm the created order even in their rebellion. Wow. So I have Robert Breaux in the studio here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. What a blessing after all these years. And you're an open-air preacher, but you're also here with Jeremy Sanye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sanye.
Yes.
Sanye. Jeremy, welcome to Bob and Eric Live.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
And tell us, I'm going to get more to Robert's testimony in a moment, but why don't you tell us about who you are and where you came from?
Well, Lafayette, Louisiana, about 2 hours from New Orleans, where Robert's from. Mm-hmm. Grew up there, Roman Catholic, like almost everyone else I knew.
Yeah, in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
My family, we grew up Roman Catholic, and our church taught evolution and that the book of Genesis was mythology. And so they basically chased us out, and we found Bible-believing churches, and we've been Protestants ever since. But go ahead. So you grew up
Catholic. That's not the reason I left.
Okay.
I got saved and had some other issues.
Amen. Well, that happened with us at the time also. We found Jesus Christ and came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord.
So I came to just a place in life, came exposed to a church there in town. Things were also going on in my own life. The Lord was drawing me to himself, and I was being convicted. And finally just came to a place where I said, if this is all life has to offer, school, grades, friends, the American dream, going to college, buying a house, you know, living happily ever after and dying, well, that seems to me to be pretty worthless.
Hmm.
You know, as far as, you know, there had to be something greater.
Yeah,
out
if you
there.
Do all that and then you die, or maybe along the way, somebody you love gets killed by a drunk driver, and it's all over. And so it's over for the murderers, it's over for the terrorist, it's over for the nice people. What does it all matter? Your life passes in the blink of an eye. If there is no God or eternity, what does it matter? So you came to that realization.
Yeah, and then finally came to a place where I said, you know, to God, if you want me, whatever you want for me, I'm yours. I give up, I surrender, and I've never been the same since.
Oh, wow.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And now tell me the name of your ministry.
Open Air Proclaimers.
Open Air Proclaimers.
Because we usually, mostly college campuses during, you know, the fall and spring semesters, just go on the, you know, if they have a free speech alley or, you know, anyway, a public is free speech, contrary to what a lot of police and security officers tell us.
Right, right.
But, and events, you know, gay games or, you know, any.
Whatever,
any
wherever
preachers,
you could
go in the street.
To reach people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness and salvation in him, that's where we'll find you guys.
Amen.
And, you know, Bob and Eric Live, we have a lot of friends around the country who do what you're doing, who go out and share the gospel. And today, a lot of Christians, I don't know if you ever noticed, but they're a bit judgmental toward Christians who go out and street preach.
Yeah, they're awfully judgmental as they're telling us we're being judgmental. And
exactly. And we've long noted the hypocrisy, which is exactly what Jesus said don't do. Don't judge like a hypocrite.
Amen.
And they say you shouldn't judge as they're judging you. Well, so that's an honorable profession. And in fact, that's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what the prophets did. That's what Jesus Christ did. And so if Jesus Christ were here today and he went downtown Denver and he went on the 16th Street Mall and he called out to the people and shared with them the truth and told them that they're on the road to hell and that they're wicked and they need to repent, or if John the Baptist did the same, they'd get a bad reputation. So we're thrilled that the people with the bad reputations are our good friends.
They're probably here.
Appreciate that, Jeremy.
They'd probably hear what we hear a lot from, you know, people that identify themselves as Christian or church people, whatever you want to say, that, you know, they like the fact we're out there, but we're going about it the wrong way. And, of course, you know, we ask them what's the right way, which they never answer.
They don't know.
So we're just going to keep doing it the Bible way.
Well, the right way is to tell everybody that God loves them. And only here's the problem with that. When we go to college campuses or high schools or wherever, we get in a conversation with people. We tell them that they need to repent of their sin, trust in Jesus Christ. Their answer is, don't judge us, that God is love. God is love, and everyone will go to heaven if they believe in God. And so what's with that? They already believe God is love. In fact, that's what's sending them to hell.
Yeah, the church has sold them that too. The modern church is what has sold the world that idea.
Yeah, that you have to forgive everyone automatically. That's what Christians are taught wrongly. Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him. If someone sins against you, rebuke him, Luke 17:3. And if he repents, forgive him. So repentance is normally required for forgiveness, normally. So Christians misrepresent God by implying that he will forgive everyone automatically, that he's only love, that it's wrong to judge. And so the thing that's sending most Americans to hell is the belief that God is love, period. They end it right there.
It's real simple. What I've been saying, different things come out of my mouth. I believe I go out, preach, open my mouth, the Lord will fill it. I just say, you're not going to forgive somebody if they do something wrong to you unless you say you're sorry.
Right.
You know, you ain't going to forgive them unless they say they're sorry. Why should God forgive you unless you say I'm sorry?
That's right. Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him. Luke 17:3. Okay, by the way, on our website, kgov.com, we have a gallery of pictures and video clips. It's hysterical, a lot of it, Jeremy. You have to take a look at it. But one of the items in our gallery is San Francisco arrest Christians. And so there we've got great video. And oh. My son Nathaniel being arrested. I'm going to have to preview this again. You might be in there, Robert.
Probably.
On this video. I think so.
I've seen a picture or two on other websites.
Okay. Now, before we continue, as soon as we come back, I'm going to ask you to play that song again. That's pretty good.
Oh.
But we're not going anywhere. I just want to tell the audience two things. We're in the middle of our telethon. This is September, our annual Bob and Yurt Live September telethon to keep us on the internet for a year. And we've reached 24% of our goal. Our goal is $15,000. And so far, $3,650 has come in. So we're excited about that. And if there's any way you could help us, please, we need your help. You know, for years, Robert and Jeremy, we didn't mention, Jeremy, you saw the TV show too, right?
Yeah, about 10 years ago in New Orleans, I was going to college there, my roommate and I kind of stumbled onto the show.
You didn't know Robert and nobody told you about it. You just fell upon it.
The two of us just stumbled upon it, and we were addicted.
Well, so many college students for years, that was one of the main demographics for our show was college towns. And college students, and it was a lot of fun. Well, on the air for years, I didn't hardly ever ask for money. And we were on in 80 cities 5 nights a week, and that's why we went off the air, because I was derelict in my duty to raise the revenue to keep the show on the air. So I hate asking for money. It is just so distasteful. But if we're going to pay the bills to be on the air and keep the show on the internet, we need to pay staff and equipment and hosting and bandwidth and so on and software. So if you can help, we really need your help. So please call us 800-8-NYART. That's 800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. Or you could go to KGOV, KGOV.com, and give there. And if you notice, the amount went up since last show. We're now at $3,650. And we've had a wonderful gift come in from Indiana. So Wisconsin has given the most so far. And Indiana, and then Colorado, and then Alaska, of all places. So thank you all. Please help us. Okay, one more announcement. The Colorado Right to Life annual banquet is coming up. And we just love Colorado Right to Life here at Bob and Yurt Live. We have for all these years we've been on the air. We think that Colorado Right to Life has been one of the strongest pro-life groups in the country and one of the ones to be the truest to God's command, do not murder, because the pressure's intense, even for pro-life leaders and groups, to compromise on God's law. And so we want to support Colorado Right to Life and their banquet September 30th. It's at the Denver Tech Center, and it costs $50. So here's the deal. If you want to go to the banquet and sit at my table, call our office at Bob and Yurt Live, If you just want to go, call Susan Sutherland, who's a board member for Colorado Right to Life. It's September 30th, a Saturday night, down at the Denver Tech Center. We'll give you all the info when you call. Either call Susan Sutherland at 303-254-6566. That's 303-254-6566. Or to sit at my table, please call us at 303-463-7789. It's $50. 303-463-7789. Okay, now back to the fun stuff. So bro, hey
bro,
Robert bro, and Jeremy, Robert, you brought your guitar, which is such a pleasure. Can you, that pro-life song, who wrote that? Where'd that come from?
Lee Smith, a friend of mine, used to live in New Orleans. He lives in Milwaukee now. Mm-hmm. He writing, and I got to pray more for God to bless him, because these songs he's given me, we use on the street, in college campuses, yeah. Different topics. Mm-hmm. And the pro-life one. I don't know if it has a name,
now,
really.
I can't sing at all, but if I might join you. I don't know.
Well, okay, I don't know how that's going to do for listenership, but
I don't even know the words.
It's a baby, not a blob.
Not a blob.
It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a cute little innocent baby. Now you can preach, you can say, what has its own DNA right at the moment of conception? Its own heartbeat around 3 weeks, own brain waves around 3 or 4 weeks, own spinal cord and functioning organs, right about the same time. What is it? It's a baby, not a blob. It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a cute little innocent baby.
That is so cute. That is just great.
It's a classic melody.
That is classic. Thank you, Robert Bro. Now, we got a call coming in. We haven't even given our phone number for calls, but is it right with you, Jeremy? We take a call? And
fine with me.
All right. It's all right with you. And then, but if he asks a question or a comment, you handle it, all right? I'm getting tired of all this stuff. No, I'm only kidding. But we'll ask Jeremy to handle it. Let's go to the phones in Maybank, Texas. Tom, welcome to Bobbin' Your Live. You're on with Robert Bro and Jeremy Saunier.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling to ask you a question because I hear a lot of things on the news that I know are not right. Could you explain... As far as I understand, Plan B pill.
Okay, now, Tom, hold on. Jeremy is here in the studio. He's with Open Air Proclaimers, and you're going to have to ask your question of Jeremy.
Okay. Jeremy, here's my question. Plan B, as I understand it, the Plan B pill, if a sperm implants in an egg, life begins. And if the Plan B pill stops the egg from being implanted in the womb, and therefore a baby's life is snuffed out. Is that correct?
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Well, Tom, of course that's what happens. That living human being, is it alive? We ask people, is it A, alive, B, dead, or C, I don't know. And obviously it's alive. If it wasn't, they wouldn't have to kill it, right? And yep. Then we ask them, is it A, human, B, canine, or C, I don't know. And it's obviously human. So it's living human. It's a human life. And they kill it. And they kill it, Plan B, by preventing it from
being implanted in the womb, where it will grow into a live human.
Right. So, I mean, that's obvious that it will kill this living, fertilized human being, which is genetically complete and all. But why? You're saying the news misrepresents that?
Well, I hear people saying this all the time, that there's no life there. It just prevents conception, but it really doesn't.
Prevent conception. Okay, now let me quote to you from the manufacturer's own website. All right, they have a website called GoToPlanB.com. And they say, how does Plan B work? And it works by, they say, now I'll get to just the part that's relevant here. Plan B may inhibit implantation by altering the endometrium, that is the wall of the uterus. So implantation, when an egg is fertilized, then you have a little blastocyst, a little zygote, it's coming down the fallopian tube, and that little fertilized egg, you know, one of the first things it does is it says, Mom, I'm here and I'm hungry. I want to eat. That little baby says that when it's still in the fallopian tube. Before it even implants, the mother knows she's pregnant. Her body receives the signal sent out from that little fertilized egg, a chemical signal, a hormone, saying, I am here, get ready to feed me, I'm on my way. That's the first cry of the baby to the mom for the first meal. And then that fertilized egg comes down the fallopian tube, implants in the uterine wall, and continues to grow. It doesn't begin to grow then. It just continues. It's 100% genetically unique, complete, living human being. And so the manufacturer's own website at GoToPlanB.com says that Plan B may inhibit – this is one of the ways it works. It inhibits the implantation by altering the endometrium. So, yeah, they admit that it'll kill that little living, little tiniest living human life.
Okay, I understand that.
All right,
now.
But the media and the pro aborts will lie, so we got to realize that.
You know, I went on National Right to Life organization to see if I could get a clear explanation of this, and I couldn't find anything on there about this.
Well, all right, we're going to have to call them up and chastise them. Hey, thank you, Tom, so much for calling in. That was from Maybank, Texas. That was pretty neat. Okay. Now, I want to hear a little bit more about open-air proclaimers. All right, guys? We only have a couple minutes. For one, I know that I'm sure you could use support occasionally. How do people get in touch with you if they want to find out what you're doing in Denver this week, for the next week, or just generally?
Well, you could either call us or email us. That phone number would be area code 337-739-8906. Robert, you want to give him email?
That's 337-739-8906. By the way, we just sold two tickets to the Colorado Right to Life annual banquet, Light on Life. Is that just a regular? Is that a Bob and Your Life table? Okay, that means there's only six seats left at the Bob and Your Life table. So if you want to go to that, call us, 303-463-7789. And by the way, if we sell this out, I think that'll be six tables going from Denver Bible Church. Six, I think. I hope and pray.
And my email, my name is Robert Breaud. Last name is B-R-E-A-U-D. The email is evangelistbrobro. That's B-R-O for brother. And B-R-E-A-U-D for my last name.
Yeah.
A little involved. Evangelist, B-R-O-B-R-E-A-U-D at yahoo.com.
All right. That's great. All right. I got
I've
that.
Always been bro.
Yeah. And people could call us if they lose track or they're driving right now. We'll be happy to put them in touch with you guys.
We have a monthly newsletter we send out, too. So anyone who would like to get on that mailing list.
They could call and ask for that. And by the way, Keith Mason, one of our dear friends, he's a member of Denver Bible Church, came up through, you know, the teaching of our church and became really a pro-life leader. What a neat young man, with his wife Jennifer. And he strongly urged us to fellowship with you guys. We said, Robert, bro, we know Robert.
I met Keith in San Francisco, February 2004, when we were.
All right. He's in Wichita now. They bought an abortion clinic. Did you hear that,
Jerry? I heard that.
Yeah, we actually stopped through there and saw them a few months ago.
Wichita had two abortion clinics now, Tiller, the killer, and the second one, smaller one, they bought the building and evicted the abortionist, and now they're out of business.
Hallelujah.
So now they have one clinic to focus on. All right, we're about out of time. Could you sing us out with some music, Robert Bro?
Just remember, folks, it's a baby, not a blob. It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a cute little innocent baby. It's a baby, not a blob.
Not a blob.
It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a cute little innocent baby.
Now, wait
it's a
minute.
Baby.
We got more time.
We got more time.
Could
Hallelujah.
You do that song with the preaching?
The preaching?
Yeah.
Well, after you, once you know it's a baby, I mean, the evidence says it's a baby.
Because we want to learn this. We want to get it through our thick heads here.
Because what has its own DNA right at the moment of conception? Its own heartbeat. I think it's around 3 weeks. Its own brain waves around 3 or 4 weeks. Its own spinal cord and functioning organs, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. It doesn't matter how many weeks it is. It's a baby, not a blob. It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a cute little innocent baby.
Bob can sing.
Nah, I really can't, but it's fun. I mean, I'm so tempted, I just gave into it.
It really is a major blessing. Now, our Iowa listeners, here we go. We'll take a break, but we'll be back right after this. Evidence for the resurrection and God and the death penalty. And then there's video fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bob and Harriet Live catalog or get it on the web at kgov.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bob and Harriet Live catalog, so give us a ring. Bob and Harriet Live, we're in studio with Robert Bro and Jeremy Saunier. Am I saying that right, Jeremy?
That's pretty close. Saunier.
Saunier. It's so easy. Saunier. Jeremy Saunier. And do you recognize Robert Bro? Do you recognize Tony Funderburk?
Oh, from the TV show.
Yeah, his
do
music.
Do right and risk the consequences. I still tell people that.
Yeah, do right and risk the consequences. And we have a whole album of Tony Funderburk's music called Do Right. It's just a great, fun album. Now, Robert, I asked you at the very beginning if we could get back to your testimony because you said you came out of homosexuality.
Yes.
And that's quite a thing to say. Could you tell us a bit about what the Lord did in your life and just tell us your testimony?
Well, it's many people. I always mention my Aunt Rose, or some people say Aunt Rose, that she saw me for years in Araby, Louisiana. I used to hang out at this food store and drink alcohol. I think it was trying to drown the pain of believing I could never be saved. I was born homosexual. I was wrong, you know. And she told me for years, she always saw me and always prayed, Lord Jesus, don't let them out of your hands. And other people used to hang on Bourbon Street and all the gay bars in the French Quarter. And look, I'm real here, sleeping with friends of mine, prostitutes, okay? You go home and have sex, and it's like, get out of here, you know, because you're never going to find fulfillment and satisfaction.
What do you mean, get out of here? Who says get out of here?
I'm just trying to say, you know, you fulfill the lust of your flesh, you just want the person.
Oh, you're sick of the person.
Yeah, you just
yeah,
want
just
them to leave.
Just get out of here.
Just want them to leave.
Right, like you want to take a bath or a shower, but 1,000
right.
showers.
Right, it's like
and it doesn't
you're dirty.
Wash you off. Right.
You fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then it's like, you know, no commitment, no love. It's just lust.
And who's this aunt? Aunt
Rose.
Aunt Rose. Is she still alive?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She supports us on the ministry, and her testimony to me, I remember sitting in my driveway in the car, and she would say, Robert, homosexuality. She basically gave me a Romans chapter 1 witness, You know, Robert, it's perversion. God will give you over to a reprobate mind. Wow. Robert, you're going to have to die.
Wow.
You know, that was her, I like to say, nice little flesh-petting testimony. You're going to have to die.
Yeah.
Die to yourself. Die to the lust of your flesh. Die to your sin.
And we're going to have to thank Aunt Rose.
Yes. Amen.
Aunt Rose, thank you so much for the fellowship we now have with Robert being a part of the body of Christ.
Hallelujah,
and then
Jesus.
All the people you reach, and with your ministry, your open air proclaiming,
right,
and your music.
Recently, we've been to the gay games. God put us right at the perfect spot, Jeremy and I, where every participant of the gay games was filing past us in Chicago recently.
Wow.
So we got to preach to everyone.
Wow!
And all these homosexuals different nations from all over the world, most of whom are from countries where we would have been arrested had we been preaching that to them.
Mm.
Yet they were over here, and we got to preach them as they were getting in line to march into the opening ceremonies. And so for 3 hours, you had to hear us.
And that takes some courage. I know here a group from Denver Bible Church go to the Pride Parade every year, and it is rough. You know, they get literally hit, spit on, their signs destroyed, threatened. And this is from who? This is from the beautiful people who believe in diversity and tolerance and respect for all ideas and all people.
Right. The most intolerant ones. I mean, people have heard this. You know, whether you're pro-choice, pro-homosexual, you usually are the most, you know, in our faces, you know, being intolerant. And I don't hate people. I just disagree with ideas. Mm. You know, when they're putting forth what the Bible calls sin and perversion, trying to present it as normal. You know, I'm writing in this next newsletter, you know, because I'm sort of wondering if some of the more, how I put it, gentle readers on our news list might say, why are you at the gay games and homosexual events all the time? Well, I said, well, because these are only people that parade in the street trying to present it as normal. When the liar pride, fornicator pride, and a thief pride, and whoremonger whore pride parade start, we'll be there too. But those people,
they usually
don't
hide it.
Right.
They're ashamed of their sin rather than being proud of their sin.
And homosexuality, that's one of the reasons we see in the Bible that's one of the sins that are the most wicked and the most destructive. It destroys people so utterly and so quickly. And most sins, like when a man cheats on his wife, traditionally, historically, he hides it and he's ashamed. When you have drunk from the cup of lust to its dregs, to where now you're in the gutter, now it's man with man doing things that are so despicably shameful and destructive, then they've crossed any threshold of dignity or honor, and they brag about their perversion, and they march down Main Street. The guys who are having affairs on their wives, they never march down Main Street bragging in a Judeo-Christian society of their lifestyle. But with the homosexuals, that's when all hell breaks loose, literally. And then all the other sins get multiplied because the homosexuals have defined the new acceptable boundary of behavior.
And I mean, it's a rough road. I walked it. I understand from personal experience that it's unhappy. And I'll ask people that on the campus, you know, do you want me to be unhappy? You want me to go back to being in sin? I mean, I was never an atheist. I always believed in God, but I knew at least down deep it was wrong. I knew it.
We've been to New Orleans a number of times with seminars, and we have a dear friend in the French Quarter, Pastor Gregory Pembo, who pastors.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know him, Jeremy?
Yeah, we both know him.
Yeah, and we've gone down there also with the church Abiding Life.
Abundant Life?
Abundant Life in another great church. Real good friends with the pastor of Abundant Life.
Jonas Robertson.
What's the name of his church?
That's Abundant Life.
Yes. In White Dove.
Michael Mille.
These guys.
White Dove Fellowship.
Just extraordinary. I hope and pray they're doing well. I haven't talked to them in 10 years.
Well, they did well. They were on the side of the city that didn't flood in Katrina.
Okay.
So they were out there helping what a lot of outreach, food, ice.
And I remember Jonas built this huge church, and he had this sign up, Jesus.
Yes.
And the city was trying to get him to take down the sign.
Yep.
Now, it's a huge church, and the sign just is in the little corner at the top of the wall. And they said, that sign violates our ordinances. So his big thing was, Jesus is not coming down.
Yeah.
And he
Said, some people said it was too bright, like they couldn't sleep or something. It was so small. I think it was the light exposing that darkness that was they couldn't sleep.
Yeah. And so we would go to the French Quarter to witness with some of these guys, and they would take me. I'm the junior partner, and they'd show me how it's done. And it was pretty intense, I'll tell you that. But across St. Anne Street, I guess that was a divider between the normal filth and the homosexual filth.
Pretty much. And once you go down to St. Anne Street on Bourbon Street, it's, you know, a lot of the neon they don't have. It's just more residential where a lot of homosexuals live in the gay bars.
What I noticed is all the lights were out and it was just dark. The heterosexual perversion side of the French Quarter was, you know, perverse and lit up. At least when I was taken there, St. Anne Street, it was all dark. There were no lights on. Yeah. It was weird.
Right.
And Jonas was outside of a gay bar, and he's witnessing. And it's sort of cold. And the guy who runs the bar comes out with a hose.
Yeah.
And he's squirting Jonas right in the face.
They did that to us during Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and Jonas is standing there, and he's preaching, but it's cold, you know? But he's just preaching. And one of his church members, now he said, I don't recommend this, but he went with a little pocket knife, and he cut the hose. Now, he was out in a public street, you know, and he cut the hose, so the water stopped. So this homosexual went up to Jonas, and Jonas is a big, tough guy, and he punched Jonas right in the face. And Jonas said all he could see were stars, and the only thing he could think was, Lord, please, don't let a gay guy knock me out. It was quite a trip. Anyway, all went well, and people have come to the Lord through the ministry of Christians who've had the courage to go and share the gospel.
Yeah, like Robert. Tell him about that. You were actually on Bourbon Street as a sinner, as a homosexual. People were witnessing to you.
Oh, yeah, I remember that before I was saved. I used to hang out and play like street musician, you know, drinking my rum and coke, playing music, secular, whatever music, you know. Mm. But actually, I was just, you know, how you say, on the hunt, looking for fulfill the lust of my flesh, alcohol. I mean, that's all I can say. I have my fill.
And Christians came.
Yeah, Christians before Mardi Gras and, you know, in between all year round.
Would that have been like 91, 92?
Yeah. A brother down there, Frank Taranto, he's been out there like 25 years passing out tracts of all different languages. He talked to me. A friend I knew, BC days, he got saved. And one time, I didn't know it was him. I approached this guy with a cross. Because usually I wouldn't go talk to him unless I was like real drunk and just say, what you talking about, this Jesus stuff? So I went up to the cross, and it was my friend Chip that I could see it in his eye because I knew him before.
Oh.
And I could see the freedom, the truth that he was set free, and he was preaching to me about Jesus, and I knew it was real.
So, Robert, what you're saying is that it's not okay to be gay.
Oh, yes. And I have a song along them lines that I can truthfully say because it's my testimony. It's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo. You shouldn't live that way. God said it's a real big no-no. I'll say it one more again. It's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo. You shouldn't live that way. God said it's a real big no-no. You know Leviticus 18:22. Look it up. Says God, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And I really did look up that word about 12 years ago. It means enormous sin. And you know God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. So if you're in a homosexual relationship, you need to leave, because it's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo. You shouldn't live that way. God said it's a real big no-no. I'ma have to tell you from personal experience, homosexuality is an unholy, unhappy, unnatural, unsatisfying, unfulfilling lifestyle. And if you gonna judge me, I done took that beam out of my eye. I laid the sin down. I repented of homosexuality. I'd be a hypocrite if I went out and told a homosexual it was wrong if I was still in it. So I took the beam out of my eye. Now I can help you with the speck in your eye. Because it's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo. You shouldn't live that way. God said it's a real big no-no.
All right. Robert Breaud.
Lee Smith wrote that now.
B-R-E-A-U-D. And the phone number for you or Jeremy with your open-air proclaimers.
Yes.
Or to get your newsletter is 337-739-8906. We'll list that on our website. And we'll keep permanently, indefinitely. Archive at 337-739-8906. We'll put that at kgov.com. So why don't you guys give me an idea? What's the war story from the work of going out and being a street preacher? What happens to you guys?
You know, one of the common questions people ask us is, what kind of response do you get? We get all kinds of responses. We get anything from Christians coming up to us and saying, amen, way to go, being really happy about what we're doing,
yeah,
to people coming up and cussing us out and, you know, wanting to kill us, and everything in between.
Mm.
So, you know, the situations are varied.
Well, tell me about some city you've been in or what's been going on.
Well, for instance, we went preach at the University of Michigan, Dearborn, last April, the end of April. And Dearborn, Michigan has a high Muslim population.
Mm.
And so 50% of University of Michigan Dearborn students are Muslim. And so we got there. It's a pretty small school, but it turned out to be a pretty good day, preaching-wise. Had, you know, good crowds all day long. And until, you know, toward the end of the day, the Muslims started to get a little bit more intense and a little bit more upset with us.
Mm.
Fortunately, earlier that day, the head of security had come up to us, and at first it looked like they were going to run us off, and then there's a total about face, you know, with the police, and all of a sudden they were real friendly and everything, and then the chief gave me his card and said, well, if you guys have any problems, you know, call this number, and so fortunately I did have that, but I overheard some of the Muslims talking about how they were going to jump us on the way back to the parking garage, which was way across campus. And there were lots of lots of trees and lots of places to hide. Plus, we had an ex-Muslim with us who's now a Christian, which they really were not
that's great.
Happy with. And so I went to take – saw that the situation was getting a little more volatile. So I went to take my – because we carry banners. I have big banners I carry around. Took that down. As I was taking it down, one guy came and just jumped on it, bent the poles, and the other guys were kind of getting closer and closer. And so,
and these signs cost a lot of money. We've had so many signs destroyed over the years, and some of that, and police confiscate in Jackson, Mississippi, they took dozens of signs that cost $80, $150, $200 each. So I know what you mean. They'll attack your signs.
Yeah,
the people who believe in free speech.
Yeah. So, But fortunately, you know, we went inside the student center, and I called the campus police, and they came out and escorted us to the car, fortunately. You know, I wasn't ready to be a martyr that day. So, you know, this religion of peace, it's just a smokescreen. They're not. When they think they're in control is when their true colors come out.
So that evident hypocrisy, like we were saying earlier, when you go to a gay pride parade, they are the most hostile of all the groups we've gotten a witness to. The most hostile, the most intolerant. Where is their belief in diversity and respect and free speech and respecting all ideas and peoples? That's all a lie. They're totally intolerant and hostile.
Sorry. That was most evident in the Chicago sodomite parade. And I don't know why, when I started preaching, you know, just being a repentant homosexual, coming out of that, they came up with banners and the, I remember one sign, the ex-gay movement is a fraud.
Yeah.
So, well, since I've been free by the grace of God, you know, relying on Jesus and the Holy Spirit in me, keeping in prayer and reading that word and wanting to serve him, he set me free of it. So I'm not a fraud standing in front of you, being free of homosexuality for 12 years.
Right.
And, I mean, they'll say, well, you never tempted? Well, the Bible doesn't say we'll be free from temptation.
Right.
And that doesn't mean I'm homosexual if I'm ever tempted with that again. Just like it doesn't mean someone tempted with adultery isn't born an adulterer or born a fornicator. Mm-hmm. You can be tempted with whatever. It doesn't mean you're born that way.
It's what you do with the temptation.
Right, because I believe God is just and righteous in his character. Mm-hmm. And it would be against his righteous, just character to create someone homosexual and then send them to hell for being that way.
And let's take a little diversion here for a moment. There are temptations, right?
Sure.
And does God tempt anyone with evil?
No.
No.
Not according to James.
Right. James in the New Testament right. says God tempts no one with evil. So that proves right there that not everything that happens is done by God or orchestrated by God. And in fact, God is not the author of confusion, yet there's plenty of confusion in the world.
And he'll give you power. It's not that Christians aren't able to sin. It's that we're enabled not to sin, relying on the Holy Spirit for help. And you keep your eyes on him. I mean, I don't know. I just hear you. There's a devil. And I know there's demonic activity, and I don't understand all of that. But the Bible says you're drawn away and enticed by your own lust. It's your own heart.
Yeah, and there is a spiritual battle.
Right.
And there are demonic influences in the world. But mostly sure. it's my flesh and the world and the temptation in my right. flesh giving in.
That's why
and
I
James
say,
explains the process.
That's why I say, people, you don't need no devil. You got your own heart and the own lust of your flesh giving you the idea. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, etc.
Yeah, the Bible's a thick book, and very little of it deals with the problems the devil gives us. Almost the entire book deals with the problems we bring upon ourselves.
That's funny, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so that was in Dearborn, Michigan, and in Chicago. Where else have you guys been? Tell us what else is going on.
Real quick, cause I know we're coming to a close here. West Virginia, we preach at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia, which was just, we had just a fabulous day, just a great day of preaching. And of course, as usual, Christians were coming up to us and saying how bad this was, how terrible this was. And of course, they always come up and say that, you know, you're making everybody hate us, to which I respond, good, that sounds pretty biblical. Sounds pretty, you know, like historic Christianity.
Well, Jesus says, if they hated me, they
right.
will hate you.
Exactly.
Right. And if the world loves you, something is wrong.
That's the way I read it, too.
And it's not that we want to be hated, but it's an occupational hazard.
Yeah. Yeah. If you proclaim the truth, I mean, if the world hates your Savior and your Savior dwells in you and you reflect your Savior, then they're going to hate you, too.
Yeah, there'll be some of that. But Christianity is so afraid, scared to death of offending anyone, where right. Jesus is the rock of offense.
Right. Absolutely.
He's
the gospel presupposes that you are not good enough, that you have a need, that you are.
Yeah, you're a liar, a thief,
yeah.
an adulterer. I mean, what else? How much time do you have? Let's go through the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't flatter man, that's for sure.
No.
But we decided to stay a second day. And the second day, the Christians were coming up to it and saying, you know, well, I kind of was really against you guys at first, and I really opposed what you were doing. And then they would go into some story about how they got to witness to somebody as a result of us being there and our preaching. Mm. And so it just kind of turned the Christians around.
Good.
Because they got to see the fruit.
Yeah, and they might then go ahead and be more bold
right.
and share the gospel with somebody else.
Right. We hear a lot and see a lot sometimes on the school websites after we leave. A lot of debate.
Yeah.
People, you know, we'll leave. We'll
University go there from Nebraska, like, Omaha.
Like, I don't know, noon. We'll go from like 11:30 to whenever, 5, 4, 5, 6. And then so many people, you know, crowds, and then they're having spiritual conversations, talking about God, other people. And it's just, it, you know, it's like a rock in a pond, and the ripples go, more and more people, and they'll get emboldened.
And yeah. University of Nebraska in Omaha, a month after we were there, we caught such a, man, we had almost riot there. But a month after we were there, they were still having debate over the school newspaper website about us a month later.
Praise God.
And so it brought up a lot of discussion.
So the Lord honors your faithfulness. You know, we go out just, and it's always, not always a church. Of course, non-believers too, but church, Christians. What are you doing? You're not, I like you, that the fact you're out here, but I don't agree with the way you're doing it. And so we'll say, well, how do you do it? And they don't do it. So we'll say, well, we'll keep doing it. Open our mouths, preach in the open air, publicly proclaim the gospel, uncompromising, preach against sin. That, you know, our testimony is what we came out of. And we're going to keep doing it until the Lord comes, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that is exciting, and that you guys have arrived in Colorado, which is a blessing for us, and hopefully you'll be able to reach some of our own local unbelievers. So, Jeremy, give me that phone number one last time.
337-739-8906.
All right, and Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us here at Bob and Yurt Live. What a blessing.
No problem.
Pleasure. And so then, Open Air Proclaimers it is, and Robert Bro.
Yes, sir.
And the website, well, the email ID is evangelistbrobro, B-R-O-B-R-E-A-U-D, at yahoo.com. Yes, Robert, sir. Would you be able to play us out with, instead of us playing, Tony, I hope you forgive us, could you play us out?
Well, Tony, you usually do it, Tony, yeah, we can, Tony will forgive us.
Yeah.
Since we asked for forgiveness. Where you gonna stand on the judgment day? Where you gonna stand on the judgment day? What you gonna see? What you gonna plead on the judgment day? Who you gonna know on the judgment day? Where you gonna go on the judgment day? What you gonna say? Are you gonna pray before the judgment day?